Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we're going to begin this morning in 2 Corinthians 13. This is going to be our, Lord willing, this is going to be our last message in a little series we started called Examine Yourself. This is part 5. So you can see that we've already said a lot of different things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, it says, Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. The Amplified Bible says, Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Johnson translation says, Take a hard look at your behavior to determine whether Jesus Christ is active among you. Paul is telling Christians to examine their own lives to see if they are really living in line with the way a Christian should live and act and think and behave. I mean, he's talking about the faith, amen? And in doing so, now in examining yourself to see if you're really living like a Christian should live, in examining yourself, you might find out that you're not a Christian at all. Praise God. But mainly, Paul is telling Christians to carefully look and see if their behavior, their attitudes, their doctrines, their beliefs are those of the Christian faith. Amen? Now, in looking at this, because we said, you know, first of all, this isn't the only place that the Bible talks about that. There are several places in the Bible where it tells us to judge ourselves or examine ourselves or look at ourselves to see if we're living like we should live as Christians. And then we said, you know, the first thing I would do is check up on my love life. Am I walking in love? Amen. And living like a Christian should live, because Jesus said that is the commandment of the New Testament. And then one of the things, and this is what we're on right now, one of the things we can examine is, and a test is to see, is our faith, amen, is what we call faith really Bible faith? Let's examine our faith. You know, sometimes people say, I'm believing. But what they mean is I'm just hoping or I'm just wishing. Well, that's not Bible faith. Do we really believe God's Word, or are we calling something faith that's not faith at all? Amen? So we're looking at 4 ways to examine our faith. We talked about 2 of them. We'll mention those 2 briefly, and then we'll go on and do number 3 and 4 this morning. But number 1, we said, ask yourself. This is how you test and evaluate your faith to see if you're really in faith or not. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the way we please God. Faith is the way we appropriate the promises of God. So you need to make sure that you're really in faith. Amen? And so we said, number 1, ask yourself, is what I believe based on and rooted in a Rhema word from God? Because if you don't have a revelation of God's Word, if the Word's not really in your heart, if it's not a Rhema word to you, then you may agree with it, and you may like it, and you may enjoy it, and you may mentally, you know, acknowledge that it's the truth, but you don't really believe it in your heart. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes. Faith comes. Notice it comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The word word there is a Rhema. Faith comes by hearing a Rhema word from God, or in other words, from getting a revelation from God's Word. A Rhema word is a word that is directly spoken to your heart. It's the written word, or the Holy Spirit specifically saying something to you and telling you something, and you get a hold of it, and it explodes in your heart as a divine revelation that you really, honestly, truly believe in your heart. Can you say amen? Amen. And so many scriptures emphasize this in one way or another. I like Proverbs 4:20-23. We'll look at that in a minute, because it tells us, Proverbs 4:20-23 is a formula for how to get in faith. It's a formula for how to get the Word in your heart. Or you could say it's a formula for how to get a Rhema word. Or you could say it's a formula for how to get a revelation. See, I'm using all those terms synonymously. If the Word is in your heart, then it's a Rhema word. If the Word is really in your heart, then it's a revelation. If you've got a revelation, then you've got a Rhema word, and the Word's in your heart. So here's how to get a revelation, or how to get a Rhema word, or how to get the Word in your heart. Proverbs 4:20-23 says this, My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health cross-reference says medicine, and medicine are health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen. See, we may know what the Bible says, or know some promises in the Word, and that it's clearly God's will for us to have something because we know that His Word is His will. But if we do the opposite of what this Scripture tells us to do, if we look at our problem and look at other things and listen to other words and focus on other words and focus on our symptoms and our circumstances and focus on our problems, then we will be overwhelmed by them and we will not operate in faith. We will operate in doubt and fear and unbelief. Can you say amen? Amen. So you can acknowledge that God's Word is true. You can say, I know the Bible says that. I believe that. You can want to believe it and you can try to believe it. But this passage tells us exactly how to get it in the heart so that you in reality believe it. So it said, number one, attend to my word. What does that mean? Well, if you have to, if you meet somebody on the street and you say, well, I'm sorry, I can't talk. I must go attend to this. In other words, there's something that's real important that you've got to put first. So to attend to God's word is to put God's word first. To attend to God's word is to put it above all other words. We live in a day and age, you know, where people put what other people say above the word of God. But if you want to have success, if you want to please God, if you want to get results, you got to believe His word and put His word above all other words. You've got to give it your first attention, your foremost attention. You've got to make it your final authority, and you've got to submit to what it says. Amen. And then He says, incline your ear. You ever see somebody and they go, what'd you say? They're inclining their ear. Listen carefully. Listen intently. Amen. That's what it means to incline. Attentively and carefully pay attention to God's word. Glory to God. And don't let it depart from your eyes. Put it first. Submit to it. Make it your final authority. Listen carefully to it. Listen attentively to it. And keep on doing that. And if you do that, it says, keep the word in your heart or keep them in the midst of your heart. The way that you keep the word in your heart is the same way you get the word in your heart. And you do that by paying attention to His word first and foremost, listening carefully to His word, keeping His word before your eyes, focusing your attention on what He says. If you do that, the word will sooner or later get on the inside of you. It'll explode as a divine revelation that you genuinely, sincerely believe. And as you continue to do that, instead of looking at your circumstances and problems and tests and trials and so forth, the word will stay real and alive in your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you see, the whole implication of all of this is to ignore and not listen to any other words. You say, you're kind of teaching some form of brainwashing, aren't you? Listen to me very carefully. Yes! Brainwash yourself not with what I say, not with what this church says or what that church says, but brainwash yourself with the Word of God. What the Word of God in reality says is the absolute truth, and it will always bless you, will always help you. It's always the right way to go. Now, what we preachers say it says sometimes may not be right, but what the Word actually says is always the right thing to go with. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. And see, if you do that, then, glory to God, the Word, some promise of God, some statement of fact, some things aren't promises, they're just statements of fact, some statement of fact will get in your heart, glory to God, and you'll find life and health and healing. Oh, glory to God. See, it's not what you think the Bible says that counts. It's not what you think the Bible says that will make any difference in your life. It's not what somebody else told you it said. Now, what they told you it said may be right, but it's not what they told you that it said that counts or makes any real difference in your life. The only thing that counts, the only thing that makes a real difference in your life is what the Bible actually says, what it actually says, and what you know and believe and act on for yourself. That's the only thing that makes any difference in our lives. Faith comes. It always comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So put it first, incline your ear to its saying. Glory to God, listen intently and carefully. Block out all other words and let the Word of God explode as a divine revelation in your heart. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And then we said number two, in order to examine your faith, then ask yourself, am I getting results? Because faith works. Faith gets results. Glory to God. If it doesn't get results, then it's not faith. So if things are not working, we should take an, listen to me carefully now, we should take an honest look at the state of our faith, amen, so that we can condemn ourselves? No. So that we can make adjustments and then get in real faith and go on to victory. I'm going to say that again. If things are not working, we should take an honest look at the state of our faith so that we can then make adjustments and then go on to victory. Glory to God. You know, recently I was attempting to watch something on Roku. Now, what I'm about to tell you, I could tell you, this happens to me about 10 times a day in one form or another, but I was attempting to watch something on Roku. Of course, I've got three remotes. How many of you got three remotes or more? Amen? You know, because you have to switch it to switch to Amazon Prime or to watch something on Netflix, you've got to go from one HDMI channel or input or whatever the heck that is to another one. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen? And so I get out one of my remotes. Now, one of my remotes to change, one of them calls it input and one of them calls it source. And I don't know why they all can't get together and call it the same thing. But one of them is source and one of them is input. So this one is called source. Amen? So I need to go to a different input. I need to go from HDMI 1 to an open one. So I press the source button. And then I mashed it, and then I went down to the directional arrow and tried to make it move over, but it would not move over. So I do what I always do. I mashed it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Here at the office, somebody heard me in my office one day doing this on my computer. They said, "You know that doesn't do any good." I said, "It helps me." So, nothing happened. Well, this ain't working. And I remember on this particular remote, because now I stop, you know, and think a little bit. It's always a good thing to do. And I go, oh, yeah. You have to press the source button, then you press it again, and that's what makes it move over to HDMI 1. Ah, now it works. Now I can watch Roku. Well, I get to Roku. Now you got to start mashing other buttons to get to this, to mash other buttons to get to this, to mash other buttons to get to this. But I was getting there. Not one time did I think, this just doesn't work. Just throw it away. Let's tear the TV off the wall, throw it away. Let's throw these real life. Not one time did I think, this just doesn't work. Not one time did I think, it's not Spectrum's will that I be able to watch Roku. It's just not their will. Not one time did I think that. Amen. Nor did I throw my hands up and just give up and say, the Lord's will be done. I just give this to the Lord. It's not His will that I go over here and watch Blue Bloods or whatever it was I wanted. It's just not His will. No, I knew it worked. And I knew it would work when I did it right. And I didn't get mad at myself. I just looked at things, figured out where I was missing it, and then did it right, and I got results. Glory to God. And then when it was all said and done, and I watched the show, and I'm trying to go back from HDMI, whatever this is, back to the original one, back to regular TV, I switched to another remote, and nothing on this remote works. I mean, nothing. I mean, it's dead as a doornail, nothing. Nothing. But I quickly figured that out because when I first changed from whatever I changed from, Dish over to Charter, because you know they get real high and then you switch to the next one, and Spectrum's getting real, real high now, so I'm getting close to, they're going to fix it, or I'm going to switch to another. Doesn't bother me to switch. Amen. Guy had the audacity to tell me last time, he goes, well, that's just $50 or $60 more a month. I'm going, that's just over $600 a year. That's not what he had the audacity. This is what he had the audacity to tell me. He goes, well, I don't know. I get mine free. Wow. Boy, you know you got the flesh when he says that to you. Yeah. But when I first got it, that happened to me about three months. So, you know, you got to make the 2.5-hour phone call to get to somebody live to straighten this out. I don't think it took quite that long, but it took a long time. And so I get him on the phone. And he said, you need to change your batteries. And I said, oh, I said, this is brand new, you know. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's a brand new remote we just came out with, and it eats batteries. He says, I'll send you the old one. And I said, well, let me, y'all got some kind of, they don't even have, their, I mean, this is such a no-name brand. There's not even a brand on these batteries. Let me put in some good Duracells and get some Duracell people. Let me put in some good Duracells. And so they last 6 or 7 months, but it still eats batteries pretty good, you know. But anyway, I figured that out right away. But again, not one time did I think this is not working. Amen. Listen, I'm not trying to reduce faith to a formula, because it is not a formula. It's a way of life and a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm just making the point that faith gets results. And if I'm not getting results, I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't develop some doctrine that rationalizes why it doesn't work. One of the biggest problems we have in the body of Christ is that born-again Christians rationalize why this is not the truth and why it doesn't work. No, glory to God. Amen. I found out what's wrong, and I fix it, and I get results. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, point number 3. We haven't talked about this at all in this series yet. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. I love this scripture. 1 John 5, 14. Now this is the confidence. That's almost a synonym for faith. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You can confidently know. You can have absolute, totally be convinced and fully persuaded. That's faith. That if you ask God for something that is His will, He absolutely hears you. Can you say amen? Now, you have to understand that throughout the entire Word of God, the expression God hears you means that He hears and answers your prayer. If God doesn't hear you, then your prayer is falling on deaf ears. Throughout the Bible, that's I don't know what it is. Anyway, simile, metaphor, is something. It means that He hears you. If He hears you, then he responds to your request. So if you ask according to His will, He hears you. Can you say amen? Amen. And we know, verse 15, and we know, I like that, don't you? Yeah. And we know, and if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If you ask according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, then you know that you have given to you whatever you asked for. So the Amplified Bible says, well, that's real clear, isn't it? The Amplified Bible says, and this is the confidence, the assurance which we have in Him. We are sure if we ask anything or make any request according to His will, He listens to and hears us. And since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us as a present tense possessions the request made of Him. Amen. Glory to God. Well, there's two things here. First of all, the Word of God is the will of God. People always say, well, that's my problem. I don't know what God's will is. Well, His Word is His will. Whatever He says He will do in His Word, that's His will. Whatever, you know, that's His will. And so we should let that, you know, settle the question. If we find something in His Word, some promise, then it's His will for us to have it. But there's another side to this I want to talk about. And here's point number 3. Are you absolutely convinced? In order to operate in real faith, test your faith. Because if you can't say yes to this, then you're not in faith. Are you absolutely convinced that it is God's will to give you what you're asking for? Are you absolutely fully persuaded that it absolutely is God's will to give you what you're asking for? If you don't know that, you're not going to operate in faith. Because as many have said, faith begins where the will of God is known. If I know it's God's will to do something, then I can operate in faith. If I don't know it's God's will to do something, then I need to go back to the Word and stay in the Word until I become convinced that it is God's will. All right, listen to me. As always, real faith is based on the foundation of God's Word, amen, that you have heard for yourself. So two things here. You cannot believe and stand in faith for things that you're not fully convinced is God's will to give you. The other thing is you cannot believe and stand in faith for things that God hasn't told you that you can have. Amen. What you're believing for must be according to His will. Glory to God. You can't claim my new 2021 Harley. It's not my will that you have it. Now, it's my will that you have a Harley if you want a Harley, but not mine. I mean, not at this point. I mean, I might give it away at some time, but no. Amen. Glory to God. You can't claim some boy to be your husband. You can't claim some girl to be your wife. They have a will. They have something to say about it. Amen. See, that's not necessarily God's will for your life. Glory to God. Back in the day, you know, Brother Hagin, this goes back actually to about the time I was at Rhema. You know, Broncos were popular. They just remade the Bronco, Ford did. And back in the day, Broncos were, I tell you, every SUV was a kind of an outshoot of the Bronco and trucks with a cab on the back of them. And that started the whole SUV craze. But he had this red Bronco, big, beautiful red Bronco. I saw him driving around. He particularly liked to drive around, and you know, their winters have a lot more snow and so forth than we have. And so he really loved that red Bronco. Well, one Rhema student, because you know, the Bible says you can have what you say. Amen. Amen. And then the Bible says all things are possible to him that believe. So he's got scriptures for it. He decided he would claim Brother Hagin's Bronco. Yeah. You can have what you say if it's in line with the Word of God. Amen. All things are possible to him and believe if it's in accordance with the will of God and the Word of God. And so he claimed Brother Hagin's Bronco because he said, I've got Scripture. No, he misapplied Scripture. He didn't read the whole Bible. He didn't read the Bible in context. And he even sent word to Brother Hagin. I love this. He sent word to Brother Hagin. He said, well, he said, you can go ahead and drive it through Christmas and I'll take possession of it, you know, at the first of the year. Well, he still hadn't got Brother Hagin's Bronco. That was 30 years ago plus. Amen. Amen. You have to make sure that what you believe for is actually really God's will for your life. How are you going to know if something's God's will for your life? You go to the Word and you find out what His will. This is the last will and testament, New Testament, Old Testament. This is His will. Now, once you see that something is His will, then you should forget everything. You should forget religious traditions and religious ideas and what Grandma said and what Uncle Joe said, and you should go with the Word. If God's Word tells you it's His will for you to have something, then that should settle the issue for you. Amen. 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 But you have to understand, and this is a part of it I'm trying to get across to you this morning, is in many cases in life, whether you should do this or go there or go here or buy this or buy that, you must hear from God for yourself before you take a faith stand and expect God to perform miracles. Amen. The second part of that is, but once you do have God's Word, praise God, you should accept it and make it your final authority and go with what it says. You shouldn't doubt His will anymore once you see it. I know it said, by His stripes you were healed, but you know, so-and-so died, but so it must not be God. Well, what does God's Word say? Go with the Word. Go with the Word. See, even if the Word promises you something, you must know it for yourself and be absolutely fully convinced, fully persuaded that something is God's will for you to have. When you settle that issue, then you have a basis for real Bible faith. Can you say amen? Amen. And then number four. Here's a third way to examine yourself to see if you're really in the faith. Are you confessing and acting on the Word? Are you confessing and acting on the Word? Faith must be. Faith must be. Faith must be. Faith must be. Faith must be released through words and actions. If there's no words and actions to support your faith, then you're not operating in real Bible faith. I heard somebody last week, and of course they were talking about somebody in their particular camp, and he kind of made fun of this man. The way he talked about this man, he said, I've been to his home. You know, it sounded like a palatial mansion. He said, he's extremely blessed by God, but not by confessing it. In other words, prosperity and confession was all wrong. But it was okay for them to have it in their camp, but not okay for anybody else to have it in their camp. And I thought, I don't understand, you know, why? You understand? Praise God. When I first came to Cleveland, things have changed quite a bit since then. When I first came to Cleveland, there were people in denominational churches that made $200,000 to $300,000 a year, and they were criticizing little Rhema pastors making $15,000 a year, you know. We don't believe in that prosperity stuff. Well, you believe it for yourself. You just don't believe it for everybody else, huh? Because that was pretty good money in Cleveland in 1980, $200,000 a year. Amen. Faith has a voice. Faith speaks. If it doesn't speak, it's not faith. Faith believes and it confesses what it believes. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. That's the make it or break it point when it comes to faith. Will you call those things that be not as though they were? It's not as though you're healed according to your symptoms, according to what it feels like. It's not as though you're forgiven according to your feelings and your emotions. But the Word of God says you are forgiven. Amen. And so you say, according to the Word of God, I am forgiven, even though I don't feel like it. That's calling those things that be not as though they were. Even though you've got a lump in your body, you say, according to the Word of God. You're not saying you don't have the lump. That'd be telling a lie. You're saying, according to the Word of God, I believe. I don't know that I have it in the natural. I believe that I have it. I believe that I am healed. In other words, according to the Word of God, I am healed. You make that confession before anything changes, before anything happens, before you feel any different, before you see anything different. You believe you received it, and you say, according to the Word of God, it's mine, according to the Word. I didn't say I physically possessed it. I said, I believe I'm healed, glory to God. That's calling those things which be not as though they were. But so many people will not do that, bottom line. They'll say, well, when the money comes in, I'll say I'm blessed. No, you've got to say, glory to God, I'm blessed according to the Word. I walked around with holes in my shoes, literal holes in my shoes, as a young police officer in Tifton, Georgia, cut out pieces of cardboard and stuck them in my shoe so the sand wouldn't get into it. And walking around saying, according to the Word of God, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I meant financially, I'm blessed. I didn't say anything about the hole in my shoe. I just said, I believe I'm prosperous. I believe I'm blessed because the Word of God says I am, and I am. I have it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say, what happened? I got a new pair of shoes. And many since then. I told that story to a Bible college, Bible school in Italy. And at the end of the week, somebody gave me a pair of shoes. And I talked to the director. You know, these are Italian shoes, Italian leather. And I talked to the director, and he goes, man, those are really, really expensive shoes. I said, yeah. I said, how expensive? He goes, well, they're really, really expensive. Glory to God. And I've had a new pair ever since. Can you say amen? Amen. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Then he said, verily, of a truth, this is the absolute truth. This is how it works. This is what I want you to do. Have faith in God. Truly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, your problem, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but will believe that what he says shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said we could speak to mountains, and if we would believe, speak to problems. Do you ever notice Jesus spoke to fevers? Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to waves. Jesus spoke to trees. And he believed what he said would happen. And when he believed what he said would happen, it happened. Say, it happened. When you believe, say it out loud. Say, when I believe what I say happens, it happens. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is great power in words spoken in faith. Amen. Obviously, your problem can hear you in the realm of the Spirit. Trees heard Jesus. Fevers heard Jesus. Winds and storms heard Jesus. See, you'll never get results. Watch this now. You'll never get results praying and asking to do something that he already told you to do. That's a prayer God cannot answer. Asking him to do something that he already told you to do. He already told us to resist the devil. And no sense praying, oh God, resist the devil. Oh God, get the devil off me. Oh God, cast the devil out of my husband. You know, the devil may need to be cast out of him, but you're going to have to cast it out. Mark 11:23, notice it did not say, go to God and talk to him about your mountain. He said, you speak to it and you command it to leave and you believe that what you say happens and it will happen. Glory to God. He told us to speak to our problems in faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Real faith. If you're not doing that, you're not operating in real faith. If you're not calling those things which be not as though they were, you're not operating in real faith. Real faith speaks and confesses that it has what God says it has. And instead of praying and asking God to move your mountains, you command them to go in the name of Jesus, believing that what you say will happen. Real faith calls those things which be not as though they were. And real faith acts. It simply acts like what God's word says is true. The Bible says the Lord is the strength of my life. So when you don't feel like you have any strength, you just begin to say, the Lord is the strength of my life. According to the Bible, the Lord is the strength of my life. And you get up and go in faith, confessing and saying and acting on it. Because according to you, you know, I just want to sit here and move. But you get up and go saying, the Lord is the strength of my life. And as you go in faith, I promise you strength will come. I'll close with this because it's been long enough this morning, but way, way, way back when I lived in Tulsa and went to school in Broken Arrow, worked at Oral Roberts University. And for about a month, I worked at graduate student housing, and they had these little gates out there, you know, with the guy that has to open the gate to let you in. And I did that. I didn't like that job too much. Later, I got a much, much better job there. I'm a security guard, you know, there because of my background in police work and so forth. And so later, I got a much better job on the security staff, but the first month I worked there. Well, one day it was time for me to go to work. Went to Rhema like from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock and worked from, I worked 2 to 10 or 3 to 11. I don't remember. 2 to 10, 3 to 11, I think. And I don't think we had school that day because, you know, sometimes I worked and went to school, and some days I only had school, and some days both, or one or the other. Anyway, it was time to go to work, and I'd just been kind of just laying around the house all morning because I felt sick as a dog. You ever heard that expression? Sick as a dog. Sick as a horse. I guess that means you're sick big. I mean, I had flu-like symptoms. Might have had the flu, who knows. Had flu-like symptoms. I was feverish. You know, I'm sure if you took my temperature, it was spiking and going up and down. I ached from head to toe. I hurt from head to toe. And I was weak, 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 weak. Well, you know, by stripes I'm healed. But so far, I hadn't had any need to act on the word. I'd just been laying around the house. But now it's time to go to work. Well, if you're healed, you go to work. But I don't feel like going to work. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do any of that. But blessed be God, not because I'm imitating somebody else, not because I'm copying somebody else, but because I know in my own heart that faith acts. You know, James says, faith without works is dead. Better translation, faith without corresponding actions is dead. Glory to God. And because I truly believed I was healed, then I made preparations to go to work. I mean, it sounds funny, but it was just hard to bend over and put my shoes on, you know, and tie that knot. I mean, it just seemed like I labored in just getting ready to go. And I drove to work and got in my little booth and got in my chair. Blessed be God, I'm the healed. I feel really bad, you know, really bad. And so, but I am the healed, and they have a little clock up there, and it's one of those clocks where it's like 3 o'clock, dot, dot, zero, zero. Glory to God, I'm healed. I'm here, and I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. I'm acting on the word, I'm healed. I looked at the clock, because I know I got to go to 11 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock, dot, dot, 01. Oh, boy, it's going to be a long day. Glory to God, I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I am healed. I looked at the clock and it still said 3:01. I'm serious. And so I really, you know, stood there a couple of minutes and glory to God, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I looked at the clock and it said 3:02. And at 3:03, I picked up the phone to call my supervisor to say, I got to go home, man. I'm sick as a dog. But I put the phone down and said, blessed be God, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I watched that clock go to 3:03 to go to 3:04. Actually, I don't know how to explain it, but you could see the seconds on it. I watched it go from 3:04 to 45 seconds to 3:05. I got to make it to 11 o'clock. Glory to God, I'm healed. About 3:07, this little girl comes walking up to my booth. Across from my booth is a little open field and some students of ORU over there, and they're having some kind of party, some kind of, you know, fellowship. It's a nice sunny day. They're having some kind of outdoor fellowship. And she sees me over there in the booth, and so they've got all these little foods, you know, pretzels and cheese and crackers and little sweet, I don't know. And she's bringing me a plate of that. Isn't that sweet? And normally I would be like, this is wonderful. But I don't even want to look at this food. I mean, just to look at it is like, you're gonna lose it any second here. But blessed be God, I'm healed. I got to thinking about that. It's like 3:07, 3:08. Normally, because we was kind of starving pilgrims as young Bible school students. I'm telling you, normally I'd have scarfed that plate up. And so I just began to do something that I did not want to do, that I had no desire to do, that was repulsive to me to do. I began to pick at that food and just touch it to my mouth, because if I'm healed, then I would eat this food. I'm just touching it to my mouth. That's like 3:07, 3:08. At 3:10, absolutely every symptom had totally 1,000% disappeared, and I was totally 1,000% healed in the natural. Or I could have been home and been sick with the flu for the next 3 weeks. So, well, how do you know? Ask me how, because I've done that before too. Faith works. Can you say amen? I said, faith works. Can you say amen? Amen? Talk like the word is true. Act like the word is true. If you're not talking like the word is true and acting like the word is true, then you're not in real faith. So don't ever try to take a faith stand until you first actually believe, until you're first fully convinced that it's God's will to give it to you. Get the word of God in your heart and then talk like it's true and act like it's true and experience the victory that is yours in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. I mean, let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Say faith works.
Faith works.
Say faith in God.
Faith in God.
Works.
Works.
Because God works. With my hand of faith. I reach out. And I appropriate.
And I appropriate.
I take.
I receive.
God's grace.
God's grace.
Faith just simply receives
what grace provides,
what grace promises. And my faith works. Glory, now give God praise and thanksgiving for it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Blessed be God forevermore. Hallelujah to His holy name. We praise you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy and love. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I do this from time to time. Gary Dalton has a tremendous testimony about this. But just close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes. Honor God, reference God, shut out everything around you. Whatever you might need this morning, a touch. Maybe a healing in your physical body. Maybe some financial need to be met. Maybe some wisdom. So see, sometimes people need a wisdom for a relationship they're dealing with. A wisdom in dealing with a teacher. A wisdom in dealing with a boss. Or wisdom in dealing with an employee. Or whatever you need. Deliverance, victory from sin has been provided by Jesus. Whatever you need. I want you to see it wrapped in a gift. In your mind's eye, please do this with me. We had tremendous results over the years. I want you to see it like it's a Christmas present. It's labeled healing. It's labeled deliverance. It's labeled wisdom. It's labeled freedom, whatever it is. It's labeled a financial blessing. It's wrapped in a gift and it's floating down from heaven, and it just kind of rests right out in front of you, about 6 inches above your eye level, just a foot or two away from your face. I want you to see it. It's right there. It's right there. Floated down from heaven, whatever you need, whatever you've labeled it that's in line with the Word of God. You see it. It's right there. It's right there. Now put your hands like this. Look at me. Put your hands like this and just reach up and say, I take it by faith. Do that. Say, I take it by faith. Thank you for this gift, Father. Thank you for this grace. It's mine. I take it and it's mine. I take it, it's mine. Thank you that it's mine. According to the Word of God, I am healed. I am delivered. I am free. I have the wisdom that whatever it is, say, I took it, I took it, I took it. I have the answer. I have the deliverance from this problem with what I'm dealing with somebody. It's my, just thank God that you got it. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory, not that you're going to get it, but that you got it. Praise God. I thank you that it's mine. I took it by faith. I received it by faith, and it's mine. I claim it right now. I have it. Glory to God. I have it by faith. I have it by faith, and it's mine. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anna, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. You know that, don't you? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's yours. You have it by faith. You have it by faith. You have it by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Well, could it really be that simple? How did you receive the greatest miracle that life has to offer? Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You took Him by faith. You accepted Him. The word believe in a biblical sense means to take, to accept. You accept by faith. You just received it by faith. Glory to God. Got this new little blue knife here. See, John, he just walked up and took it because I stretched it out to him to give to him as a present. And he just took it back. Give it back to me. What's the matter with you? I'm making an illustration here. That's brand new. What, are you nuts? Actually, you could keep that. Really, you could keep it. I know where the store is. Well, I wouldn't even believe for this. I wouldn't even ask him for this. I don't even particularly, sometimes God will just do that for you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I got it.
I got it.
It's mine.
It's mine.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus Christ, come ahead, Kayla. I was hesitating for some reason. Thank you, Jesus. Give me that water.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we've already reached up. We've already received it. But in my spirit, as we were receiving, as we were taking, I just had an impression that somebody is having problems with their wrists, whether it be, you've been diagnosed with carpal tunnel or you've got some issue with your wrist, pain
Thank
in
you,
your
Lord.
Wrists.
Yes.
I just sensed that. Anybody in here?
Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody in here?
Respond.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Multiple? Jesus. Yeah. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Come ahead. I know we've already reached up. We've already received, but I had a special impression about that, and I just believe that God wants to touch you this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We already know that we're healed according to your word, but Father, I believe that there's a special anointing right now for
yes,
this purpose.
Yes, yes,
so,
yes,
Father,
yes.
We thank you right now as we lift our hands. Glory to God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that wrists are healed and completely restored in the name of Jesus. Completely restored in the name of Jesus. There is no pain. In the name of Jesus, completely restored. Restored back to their rightful place as they were. Hallelujah, according to the word of God. healing belongs to us this morning. And we call you healed. We call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, anything. Anything. There's an anointing here. There's an anointing here. There's an anointing here. Anything to do that has to do with joints. Anything that has to do with joints. Amen. Knees, ligaments, joints, hips. Anything that has to do with knees, joints, any kind of hip, any kind of arthritic, you know, activity. There's an anointing here. Just say, I take it by faith. Nobody has to touch it. Just say, I take it, I receive it by faith. I take it by faith. Spirit of God touches your body right now. Somebody that's had not so much, they don't have freedom because of the problem with hips, joints, arthritic, you know, but pain, the pain will begin to subside. Don't accept it. Don't receive. The pain will begin to subside. And so stand in faith, continually praise me that it goes away and thank me that it goes away. Thank me regularly, continuously that it goes away, and you will see that in the day you have a part to play. I need you, the Spirit of God is saying, to release your faith. And as you are thanking me that it goes away, it will get better and better. If you don't do this, it won't happen. But if you thank me, the pain caused by this joint, hip, knee, arthritic, whatever, will go away, and you'll be free of the pain of it, and you'll give me glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's good. 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 And of course, not only will the pain go away, but then you'll have freedom of movement. Freedom of movement. Freedom of movement. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, before I get through with this paragraph, you can get right with God. You can accept Jesus. You can take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's between you and God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or if you're a Christian and you say, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm not living for God like I should. I'm not walking with God like I should. You can get back into right fellowship with Him. You can say, Lord, I missed it. I blew it. Forgive me. I accept your forgiveness because you said in your word, if we as Christians confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can ask God to forgive you and cleanse you as a Christian, and the power of God will cleanse you and forgive you. Then you can say, I am forgiven, and you can walk out of here knowing that you're perfectly right with Almighty God. Can you say amen? Amen. If you need to do that, do it. Praise God, do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, say the Lord is good. I'm supposed to turn this over to Brother Doug.
Praise God. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. I guess I'll step up here. They probably need to see me on the thing over there, Facebook. This morning, we want to honor someone very special. You know, she means a lot to just about everybody in here. She's touched the lives of everybody in here that I know of, and she personally has touched me and Michelle's lives. Michelle, you want to come on up? And anyway, but this is we're actually the other day was Miss Margaret's birthday, but we want to honor her. Amen. We were very busy yesterday, and normally I like to be a little bit more prepared with with some things, but we had a little our little great niece with us all day yesterday, and she's very much a little handful, but she's a lot of fun. So anyway, I didn't have time to prepare like I wanted to, but you know, I thought of a scripture, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read, really, this is just pretty much the definition of Proverbs 31, and this is talking about a virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31, it defines a virtuous woman as one who leads her home with integrity, discipline, and more. And all the virtues that she practices are aimed at making her husband's life better, teaching her children, and serving God. This essentially is the meaning of a virtuous woman. And thank God for her walk with the Lord. Thank you for everything you do for the kingdom. And for what you do in this church. You know, there's so many times when we went in for counseling, and thank God she was always there, and she's always given words of wisdom. Amen. So thank God for her life. Thank you for everything you do. Amen. So we're gonna honor her. You got anything to say? Okay. So anyway, we're going to do like we always do. You know, we just want to say, Miss Margaret, happy birthday. Thank you for what you do for the kingdom. We love you. So if everybody would just kind of do like we always do. I'm sorry. Yeah, you come on up here. We just want to honor you. I should have already had you up here. Anyway, it's easier to talk when you're faced that way rather than look you in the eye. So anyway, praise God. Let's, if ushers, we don't have the... Who is? Look there. He's on it. Amen. Just if you bring the offering plates up here, if y'all brought any cards or any kind of whatever you want to do, but everybody just let's go around this way and just everybody come up and just say happy birthday to Miss Margaret. Amen. What, you want me to sing? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let's just sing happy birthday. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Margaret. Happy birthday to you. Amen, amen. I love you.